All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again, another episode of the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin alongside Dom. Dom, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I am thrilled because we are here today with yet another Survivor Maryland deep dive. And joining us today, someone we've been very much looking forward to having on the show for quite a long time at this point. Welcome from Survivor Terrapin Trials and, of course, Survivor Maryland All-Stars, Victoria Zhao. Victoria, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm optimistic you'll get a better edit on here than you ever had on either of your seasons.
I think we'll talk about that, but in my defense, I do have some things to say.
I forgot about that, but yeah, that's right, that Dom was someone who spent all season saying, why isn't Victoria on the show?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know when Austin reached out to me about chatting with you, he said he'd give me a good edit, and then jokingly I said, you know, so non-existent. So I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah, all right,
based on the length of your pregame bio, I'm sure you do, in fact, have a lot to say.
Also have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, well, let's dive into it. And I guess just quickly, in case anyone has mistakenly tuned into this and has not seen all of Survivor Maryland All-Stars, I would just issue the spoiler warning of we will be diving into the details of everything that goes down on that season. So if you want to stay unspoiled, certainly do go watch that before listening to the rest of this podcast. But Victoria, yeah, so much to be getting into with you today. But before we even get into All-Stars, I'm curious about what your state as a Survivor fan was before even playing your first time on Survivor Maryland.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that's actually going to surprise a lot of people. I didn't really know much about Survivor at all before playing Terrapin Trials. And so how I actually learned about the game was Austin was an RA on my floor. I was a freshman. And I think right before winter break, he reached out to some of the girls on the floor and said, hey, do you think you might be interested in playing this game called Survivor that I run? And, you know, I looked it up a little bit, seemed kind of interesting. And so I thought, you know what, why not? I'm a freshman, not really involved in things. Might be cool to meet some new people. And so he sent out an application. I submitted some of my answers. And I ended up getting casted, and it was, you know, a really cool experience. I think my only exposure to Survivor before playing was my senior year of high school. I had tried to watch a little bit of Micronesia for I don't know what reason, and I couldn't really get into it. So I knew you were, like, on an island, and you had to vote people out. But in terms of the nitty-gritty, I had really no idea. And so after getting started with Terrapin Trials, I started watching, I think it was Cagayan, which was airing at the same time. And so that was really my first exposure to the real CBS Survivor and all of the different strategies and everything that goes into the game. So as soon as I started playing, as soon as I started watching, I had a better sense of what really it entailed. I, you know, immediately got hooked. I've been watching every season since, and I've been really involved with, you know, Maryland as well, watching Maryland and all the following seasons. So it's been a really great way to get introduced to the series.
Well, I can't even imagine beginning Survivor with Tony Vlachos
yeah.
And all that he was doing out on that island. Has it been something that you've not necessarily applied, but would you consider, or would you I enjoy the idea of playing on the CBS version yourself?
I think as an idea, I would really enjoy it, but I'm not actually sure how I would fare. I think having played in two seasons of Maryland Survivor, I've really been able to acknowledge where my weaknesses are in particular, and I think a lot of those weaknesses make it difficult to do really well in the early game on Real Survivor, and I think that's where you really need to make an impact and form relationships. So, you know, I think if I have a chance in the future, I would definitely be up for it, but not really sure if I'd ever get casted, to be honest.
Did you, after your first season, meaning Terrapin Trials here, did you have any major takeaways about, okay, now that I'm going and playing again for a second time on this All-Star season, here's what I've learned to definitely do or not do this time around?
Uh-huh. I think there were a lot of things. And I think part of the reason why my application for All-Stars was so long was it was really my first time having a chance to just sit down and reflect upon my Terrapin Trials experience. And I like really didn't think anyone other than Austin would be looking at it. So I really utilized it as a way to just think about what had happened and what I'd learned. I think in terms of big takeaways, I really viewed Terrapin Trails as, you know, a game that I was playing outside of my life in college. But it's really hard to separate the lines between, you know, your real life and your real friendships and the game, especially coming into All-Stars when everyone really knows each other to some extent. And so I wanted to have a better, kind of a better way of maintaining my relationships. And I wanted to be a lot more straightforward, even though I was going in with this image of being, you know, like a backstabber and a liar. I wanted people to at least have a sense that they could really trust me a little bit more. And I think just forming those relationships and maintaining relationships, that's something that doesn't, maybe not, it doesn't come as naturally to me. I think in a game, I'm a lot more goal-oriented into like as to who to vote out and stuff. And so making sure that people feel like they know you as a person and that you're opening up with them was something that I wanted to work on in my second chance.
Your first season ended in a famously brutal way. So going into as much or as little detail as you like with that, did that sour you on the entire concept, or did that just inform you that if you were to come back to do this for a second time, you'd have to kind of have a shift in mindset in order to cope with that?
Definitely. I think it was definitely a really hard situation at the end of Terrapin Trials. And I was a little bit apprehensive about playing All-Stars because of what had happened. I know that even Austin took a break between filming Terrapin Trials and filming Guts and Glory because he even like as a host, you know, there was a lot of emotional, you know, like the entire circumstances were a little bit hard to go through. So I think playing for a second time, I really wanted to have learned from that experience and realize what exactly I did wrong to have that relationship kind of break down the way it did and try to avoid something like that similar in the future. So even if I were to deceive other people and, you know, maybe lie and stuff, like how can I do it in a way that people are still willing to be friends with me and trust me in the future? I think that's something that I really wanted to take away and go into with my second chance.
Did you feel some share of the responsibility there? Because I think a lot of viewers came away from that feeling almost 100% sympathy for your side of things in that situation. And so coming into All-Stars, I think they would be much more positively disposed towards you, whereas I don't know if you or the people who are out there with you or whatever maybe felt the same way.
Yeah, that's a good question. I definitely think that there were things that I didn't do well in maintaining that relationship. And I think it was also really hard because the time that we filmed Terrapin Trials, it was our freshman year of college. It was our second semester, and Faluka and I had lived on the same floor. And so there was a lot of outside of the game dynamics that were really put into play. I know that I was experiencing a lot of stress outside of the game. She was as well. And I think that we both kind of felt that what had happened in the game was really bleeding into our outside life. And it was really hard by the end to tell what was a decision made for the game and what was maybe impacting other things. And I think that because I wasn't as communicative about it in my first season, I think it just made things really hard. And I definitely take a lot of responsibility for some of the things that happened. I think that, like, looking back, there were a lot of times that I could come in before the final three challenge and said, hey, like, this is what I did, this is what happened. And I think being more open to talking about it would have allowed things not to get as intense as they had.
So entering All-Stars, we heard from Austin, from both you and Faluke, when he was putting out kind of the feelers for who wants to be involved on this season. Understandably, both of you would make great All-Star candidates. But he said there was, on both of your ends, some concern about playing with the other one also being there. If he had said to you, I really want you to be a part of this season, but I also really want Faluke to be a part of it, and she's a hard in from day one, she will be there, do you still want to do it? Would you have said yes?
That's a really good question. I'm not completely sure of what my answer would be, just because I know I was in a pretty bad emotional state from Terrapin Trials for quite some time. And I think a big reason why I was so upset about it for a while was I never had a sense of closure. So I honestly might have said no, but in writing my All-Stars application, I did address Feluke, and I said that, you know, ideally I wouldn't want to play with her in the same season, but if she is playing, I don't think I'd make that the only reason why I wouldn't, you know, want to have a second chance and play Survivor Maryland again, because really, like, overall the experience was really enjoyable. It's really unique, and so I definitely wanted to see what I was capable of and play All-Stars.
Was it something that you had been thinking about? You know, you mentioned a lack of closure from the first time. Once that first season ended, was it ever crossing your mind, oh, I'd love to play again if that could happen? Because it's certainly something we've heard from the other people we've talked to, like, from the moment they were voted out, they wanted to give it another shot. But I could understand, from your perspective, not necessarily being that enthusiastic in the moment.
Yeah, I definitely really wanted to stay involved with Survivor Maryland, and so I helped out with Guts and Glory. I was really involved back scenes with, like, the filming and stuff. But I don't think I felt as compelled to really, really want a second chance. I think there were a lot of things that a part of me kind of felt like I got lucky in some ways with Terrapin Trials, and I wasn't really sure if I could even replicate that. But I think, like, as the time got closer and Austin said, you know what, this is something I really want to do, I wanted to see how much I had changed and how deep I was capable of even getting in a game if I were playing by myself, without, like, added baggage per se.
Okay. So let's get into those famously in-depth answers that you gave on Austin's questionnaire. What were you trying to convey with such detail?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it was just like a way for me to really reflect upon it. Austin put out the application, I think it was about right before summer break, after Guts and Glory had finished filming. And so because of all of the emotional like the emotional experience of the end of Terrapin Trials, I don't think I ever really thought about it. Like, Austin and I talked about it a little bit, but I never really gave myself a chance to even process my feelings and everything I'd gone through and what I'd learned in the season. And so when Austin set up this application, I was like, you know what, like, this is a way for me to really think about it. And I think, for me, I'm a really big thinker. And so I usually, talk things out, like, with myself or with other people, and that's how I come to a better sense of, like, understanding a situation. And so just writing out all those answers, like, I probably could have edited, but it was just like me putting down the words in my head and just, like, thinking about what had happened and what I would want to change if I've got to play again.
Yeah, so excited as All-Stars is rolling around, and what did you know about the people for, I guess you were on the crew for a lot of season four, so I guess I'll put it in terms of, who were you actively looking forward to potentially playing with, and was there anyone that was standing out in terms of be on the lookout for this person?
Yeah, definitely. I was really excited to play with a lot of the season four kids just because I saw their gameplay up close. And in particular, I really wanted to work with Alex Pascal. Didn't happen, obviously. But I thought he and I had a lot of similarities, and so I thought that would be someone that I could get along with. I also was really looking forward to just playing with Chris LeCompte because he's so crazy. Like, everything that he does is unexpected, and the way that he was willing to lie and deceive in his first season, I think that was something that I just wanted to experience. I wasn't ever really sure if I would work with him, but I think playing with a fun character like that is always really interesting. Other than that, I don't think there was anyone that I was really I wouldn't say that there was anyone I didn't want to play with. I don't think I had a sense of who the entire cast was, but some people did reach out over the summer after Austin casted and asked, like, hey, Victoria, are you playing? So I think I had maybe, like, 5 to 7 people on my list of, like, people I know who are playing. But, you know, I wanted to kind of go in first day clean slate and see what the game would give me.
Based on that experience with Feluke in Terrapin Trials, and then what you said about who you might want to work with in All-Stars, it sounds like you're drawn more to those big dynamic personalities, more so than the people who maybe are more calm and measured like yourself.
I think that might be true, yeah, because I think there's a sense of balance in that. I think, like, there are a lot of places where I am pretty weak in terms of the game of Survivor, and so working with someone who has a bigger personality allows me to kind of utilize my strengths and then also benefit from where they are strong. So a lot of those big personalities, you know, are a lot more sociable, so they might be more able to form relationships at first, and that's something that I could benefit from, but then also they would probably be a bigger target in the long run. and I would be more likely to, you know, kind of hide into the shadows. And that's something that I tend to take advantage of.
What did you think about your own reputation entering this season? Did you feel like you would be viewed as a big threat?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm not sure if it's really clear, but we filmed All Stars. It was the day before fall semester started in 2015. And that evening, Austin released the finale of Terrapin Trials. And so the timing was just, it was just ridiculous because, you know, going into the first day, people probably like done a little bit of research and they thought, oh, Victoria's this backstabber who, you know, completely knocked Holly out, even though they were in an alliance together. And then they see the finale. And so I knew that in terms of like immediacy, a lot of people would really see me as a deceitful player, a strong player. And that was something I was really apprehensive of, because I think one of the things that I had to my advantage in Terrapin Trials was that, you know, I was kind of quiet. I was seen as a nice person. And so people kind of felt bad when they were talking about voting me out. And I didn't really have that to my benefit in All Stars. So I knew that I'd come in with this reputation. I think I struggled a lot with it in the early game of All Stars as well, because a lot of people weren't as willing, or they were a lot more apprehensive about willing working with me. And that was something I needed to work around.
Did you take any kind of active measures to say, okay, I may want to do this, but given the kind of threat level that I'm now, the kind of umbrella I'm now being cast under, I can't get away with that this time? Or like, were you trying actively working different angles now that people, the cat was out of the bag, I guess?
I think so, yeah. I like told a lot of people that, you know, like even if they saw me as someone who would lie to them, like that's definitely something like way down the line. Like in the beginning, I wanted to form those relationships. And then I also think I kind of put on an act of not really knowing anything. And I think I wanted to do that because people would see me as significantly less of a threat in that, you know, no one was telling me things. Victoria is just a number that we can use. And then whenever later down the line, like we can take her out whenever, because no one's going to want to work with her. And she's, you know, just like a backstabber. So having that reputation, I think that's something I tried to capitalize upon a little bit. Not really sure how well it worked, but I wasn't really sure how else to really swing it, because I know the reputation coming in was really, really big.
Sure. So you get there on day one. We find out we're going to be split guys against girls, and also this partner twist is going to be in play. And I would honestly say there's a ton of amazing stuff that will really stand out when people rewatch Survivor Maryland All-Stars, but the genesis and then evolution of you and Chris Thomas as partners is really the highlight there in terms of stuff that wouldn't really stand out the first time, but when you know how it's going to go, is just incredible. And certainly early on is no exception there, where immediately upon finding out that Chris Thomas is your partner, you give a confessional about how I'd rather not even go for this twist than run the risk of helping Chris Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
What went into that for you?
So there's a little bit of backstory behind that. But when I was a freshman living in La Plata, Chris Thomas actually lived on my floor. He was a sophomore. And I would remember as a freshman, very late in the night, around 2 or 3 in the morning, Chris Thomas and maybe one other guy on our floor coming down the girls' hallway and just banging on the doors, like screaming for like Ashley, screaming for Rebecca, all sorts of these sophomore girls. And so this is the image that I had of him, really, like this completely just like drunk dude, no regard for anyone else. And my roommate at the time kind of had a crush on one of Chris Thomas's friends. And so she like had this little dream that I would end up with Chris Thomas and like completely change him. And I was like, Joy, no, this is never going to happen. And so coming into All Stars, you know, that's like all the information I had on Chris Thomas at the time. And then I remember when we split up into the heroes versus villains, he put himself on the hero tribe. And that actually really pissed me off, because I like watched Marilyn Outback and I was like, you are blatantly not a hero. This isn't even funny. Like, own up to it. And so when he did that, I was like, this guy is just like, no, like we're so different. There's no way. And I was actually really excited about the Paris twist. In the editing, I'm not sure if it's clear, but I was the first girl to pick. And I was so excited. I was like, wow, this is an amazing advantage. There's no way this would happen anywhere else. Like, I gotta capitalize on this. And then I get Chris Thomas. I'm like, fuck this. I'm done. And it was just like, It was just so funny. And I think it's really funny how everything turns out. But that's why I was so adamantly against it. Just like the backstory and the little information I had on him at the time.
When did that start to change for you?
Yeah, I think I started being a little bit... so Chris Thomas like came to some of the first challenges a little bit drunk. Maybe it was an act, but that really got on my nerves as well. But then he kept on lasting, and that was a little bit surprising to me. And I knew he's like an outgoing guy, like pretty goofy. So I could tell that his relationships were really helping him get further in the game. So once it kind of became clear that he wouldn't actually be a total liability, I started thinking like, maybe like I should actually tell him. But I think what really, caused the ball to like get things in motion was when Shubal and I connected after the tribe swap. And I didn't actually tell Shubal that Chris Thomas was my partner, but he obviously knew who his partner was. And I think I told Shubal that I hadn't told my partner yet. And it turns out at that time, only Chris Thomas didn't know. Like every other girl had told the guys. So Shubal figured it out. Something we can really use to our advantage. And so once it got deeper in the game, Chris Thomas kept on lasting. I'm like, you know what? Like, we actually might win this, first of all. And then this is actually definitely a relationship that I should utilize because I'm not doing so well in, like, my other relationships.
Yeah, well, let's get into this early game here on the women's tribe. How did you feel about just the group you were going to be starting with? I assume you know a swap's going to come at some point. But in this group, what were you thinking about how things were stacked up for you?
Mm-hmm. I would say I was pretty apprehensive of being on a tribe of all girls because there already was kind of an image of me not, you know, wanting to work with girls for the fact that I had voted out Holly and Terrapin Trials. And then I also think that I think it was Shubal who said in one of his confessionals on the show that girls are a lot more strategic. And so they like think things through a lot more. And so I kind of knew that like if I were working with guys, I could just kind of tell them something, be like, oh yeah, like that sounds about right. But with girls, they tend to question a lot more. They'll talk with others like after you meet with them. And that was something that I was a little bit worried about because I knew that if I didn't immediately get my footing on that tribe, I could have been an easy target out. And I think I got really lucky with that because the girls didn't go to tribal for the first 2 weeks. And so that gave me some time to form those relationships and really form bonds with people that allowed me to, you know, stay later and, you know, form some of those tight bonds that would last throughout the game.
And as some of the bigger personalities, for instance, Siona is making herself more of a focal point early on. I'm imagining this is probably like great news for you, not really needing to go too far out of your way and having some early conflict develop here in the form of like bathroom gate and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. I would say like with the existence of bigger personalities, typically I might be seen as an early target, but then like obviously drama is going to happen and things are going to come up. And so I tend to fall a little bit more back in the wayside. I think the bathroom gate was actually a lot more scary than it was portrayed on the edit. I think the other girls were in the bathroom for at least 20 minutes, if not longer. And there was a point where Holly, Sierra, and I were like, you know what, like maybe we should go find them. So we actually tried to go to the building that they were in, but you needed a swipe, which is why I think it was Sabrina who swiped them in. And so we couldn't actually get into the building, but we really wanted to like break up that conversation and kind of figure out what was happening, but we actually couldn't. But they were gone for a very, very long time. I think just something like that happening that early in the game just like kicked our butts into gear.
Was there anything major from the early days that didn't make air? Like, had you guys lost one of those early immunity challenges, the vote could have gone some drastically different direction?
I'm not really sure, but I think I could have easily been an easy target in the first couple weeks because with the first week, you know, like a lot of the girls came in with relationships with other people, and I think I was probably one of the few who didn't have as tight of relationships. And I also had like some potential conflicts with girls in my season. And then with the second week, I actually wasn't present for the challenge because I was in New York for a volleyball tournament. And I remember like begging Austin, like, please do not do anything. I know that this is going to be like, this is going to screw my game if my tribe loses. But he's like, Victoria, you're gone entire Labor Day weekend. I got to do something. So I was like staring at my phone on the bus up to New York, like praying that my tribe would win. But I think that, you know, like had my tribe lost the second week, I could have also been an easy target because I just was not there and I could not talk to people. But other than that, like, you know, I think like there's some luck involved in the game of Survivor, and I got pretty lucky in the first couple weeks.
Okay, well, let's talk through just those early couple of boots here. How did the Siona boot go down from your perspective, if there was anything that you thought the TV episodes didn't get into enough detail on?
I think I was pretty neutral about who I wanted to go in terms of Siona versus Ashley. I wanted to stay with my alliance of five and go the direction that they wanted to go. I knew Siona a little bit, and I knew of her reputation. I also knew Ashley a little bit, but neither of them well enough to be like, oh, like, I really want to side with you. I think perhaps I would have been more willing to keep in Siona, just because I think she, like, had put in a little bit more effort to talk to me. And I think also she being, like, such a big, outspoken character is someone that, like, tends to rub people the wrong way in certain ways. And aligning myself with someone like that in the short run could be advantageous. But, like, really, I don't think I had a strong opinion. I do remember that Sierra in particular had a really strong opinion and really wanted to keep Siona in. And it was frustrating because we were sitting in our group of five, and the conversation had just, like, gone on for a really, really long time. But Sierra was still like, no, like, I think we should come back to this. Like, I really want to keep Siona and vote out Ashley. And it was frustrating to me because Sierra and I, like, had a relationship outside of the game already. I was like, Sierra, like, you do not realize, like, the other girls are not having it. You're making yourself look sketchy and coming up to bat for Siona. And so that was, like, something that I really became aware of. And so I didn't want to rock the boat in any way, and I was fine with it going the way that it did.
So yeah. Was, at this point, was the immediate priority just surviving until you could get a firm foothold, or did you feel like you had something solid from the outset?
No, I would definitely say I felt like I was just in survival mode for a lot of the beginning.
So from a kind of just like survivor strategy philosophy perspective, was that an issue for you, or were you taking the approach of just hanging out in the shadows is fine for now because there's still a ton of time left?
I think I was comfortable in the shadows as long as my name wasn't coming up enough that I felt like I was definitely going to be on the chopping block. I was kind of comfortable with, like, some people were saying my name, especially later, like, during the Rebecca vote, my name came up. But I knew that as long as I was able to form my relationships and strengthen them, like, 1 week at a time, I would be able to kind of just slide by. And then as it got in deeper, if I had the chance to, I would be able to better utilize those relationships. But for me, like, I'm not someone who's really able to open up immediately to someone and come across as authentic. So I really do need more time and, like, more face time to talk with people. And I think that's also something that the edit didn't really show, because I think I'm not necessarily the most compelling talker in confessionals, but I talk to everyone, like, a ton. And so I did, like, one-on-one meetings with a lot of people, with Holly especially, throughout the course of the game. I think that really helped me put myself kind of more in the shadows, and people see me not so much as a threat because they felt like, hey, like, Victoria and I are friends, like, we have this relationship. I don't think it's actually that smart for me to vote her out. And I think that's something that I was able to do partially because of the time in between starting the game in our first tribal, and then also just my strategy of just doing things week by week.
So when Rebecca's name comes up again, she had the individual immunity the first time you guys went to the vote, but she once again, the first time she's eligible to be eliminated from Survivor Maryland, is going to do so. Did you feel like she had some sort of fatal flaw as a player, or was this a fluke or somewhere in between?
So to be completely honest, I don't think I actually talked with Rebecca a ton, but I also don't think she talked to many of the other girls a lot either. I think a big reason why she was seen as a threat was that we knew that she had relationships with a lot of the guys on the other tribe. And I kind of came in with the sense that season two is probably one of the closer groups, and there was a potential that they would sync up after a tribe swap or something. And so I think a lot of the girls kind of felt threatened by that. And then with Rebecca, You know, I think just the fact that, like, she and Ashley were always together, I think she very rarely even had a conversation with another girl without Ashley being there. And the fact that they were so inseparable was definitely seen as a threat that early in the game.
Okay. So there goes Rebecca. And during this pre-swap portion, did you know a whole lot or care at all about what was happening over on the guys' tribe?
Yeah, I would say I did not really know that much of what was happening, but it was also intentional because I knew that if I tried to reach out to some of the guys, they would be like, oh, Victoria's like doing her sketchy stuff, like she's trying to be deceptive, trying to figure out what's going on. And I think there was also a really strong image of me being in the know in Terrapin Trials, and so that's something I wanted to combat a little bit just because, you know, knowing a lot would put a bigger target on my back. And so I did talk to the guys if I had the opportunity to. So I saw Chris LeCompte in the business school once very early, and we just had a quick conversation. I also ran into Pascal like right before he got eliminated, and he like had no idea. But he told me later that it was him who got eliminated, and I like would not have known had he not told me. But I don't think I really made an active effort to reach out to anyone because I also knew that I didn't want to be seen as someone who's trying to figure out information.
So it's around this time that Faluke is going to enter the game. And Austin's a tricky one. He managed to keep this a secret, not only from all of you, but also from all of us for years after the fact. But you have to suspect that some kind of twist is coming down the pipeline, whether it's a swap or something that's going to shake things up a bit. But I imagine this wasn't even on your radar at all.
Yeah, I think there was some rumor of maybe a Redemption Island kind of twist coming in, because I think Austin did that in his first season, and we thought, oh, it'd be kind of poetic to do in his first and his last. And so with the swap, I think we were really expecting a swap around 16, and that's when we had the double individual immunity thing with the pairs. And so at 15, I don't think anyone was really thinking it, because we were like, oh, 15 is like an odd number, like what do we do, three tribes? That's a little weird. But when Austin said he's bringing in one more person from the game, I was like, oh, this is definitely Redemption Island. It's going to be one of the first five that got eliminated. So I was not thinking at all that, like, a new player would come in. And so, you know, like, that already shocked me. And then when I saw who it was, I was like, oh, my goodness. This is so, so unexpected. And I think, like, if Faluke had been casted from the beginning, I would have found out, and I would have had some time to just, like, mentally prepare myself and, like, kind of figure out how I wanted to, you know, how I wanted to deal with that relationship. But I had no idea that it would be her. I had no idea that somebody was, like, coming in. And so I was just so, so shocked. And I, like, my emotion on the screen at that time was just, like, so raw because I had no mental preparation for it.
Yeah, and we've heard that it took a while for you to warm up to this idea, potentially, with Austin, that there was a couple of weeks in there where this was still, you know, such a kind of a fresh wound from your previous season and such a major blindside that, understandably, it's going to take a second to kind of process. How did that evolve for you? Because it's of course not going to be the case that, okay, we'll swap into new teams and Faluke will just be on the other team and get voted out quickly and it'll never really matter to me. Of course she's going to wind up on your team and you'll both make the merge and go from there. How did you ultimately get to the point where you were able to maybe not capitalize on her presence, but at least become more okay with it?
Yeah. So I think after the initial shock, I was like, Victoria, like, what are you going to do? You have to deal with this. And so I didn't feel comfortable enough to like reach out to her and have a conversation. But I think if she had reached out to me, I would have been like more receptive, but, just like over the course of time, I think like having the couple weeks where my tribe didn't go to tribal council, it was just like easier to come to terms with it and be like, you know what, like, it is what it is. If Faluke and I work together in the future, like, that's great. If not, like, that is the situation. I think I was also really upset at Austin because after that challenge, I left really, really early. Like, as soon as Austin was like, we're done, I walked away. And I was like, I'm so done. I don't want to, like, talk to him. I don't want to see these people right now. But a couple people texted me afterward, like, hey, are you okay? And then one person in particular was like, you know, I think I saw that coming. And I'm not sure if Austin is even going to like be happy that I'm saying this, but I think someone, it turned out like someone on his crew might have said something while they were drunk at a party with a player. And so they had like some inkling suspicion that someone was going to come in. Maybe they didn't know it was Faluke, but I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Austin, like you gave me no indication whatsoever. I had just done this confessional about like how glad I was to be playing this game by myself to see what I was capable of. And someone on your crew just like went out and spilled the beans. And so I was like really angry at him for that. And I remember him texting me like, hey, can we do a confessional? I was like, I'm really busy. Can I talk with Alex Burkow instead?
And, yeah, I'm free for him, but I'm busy for you.
Yeah. So I was pretty angry because of that.
You yeah, really should have maintained that policy for the entire rest of the season after that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think fair of you to be a little broken up for a little while about Faluke being just thrown into the game here as we hit this swap. But what did you think of your swap tribe? You end up on a team with Shannon, Faluke, Michelle, Evan and Micah, Alex G, and then Jordan Schubel. Did you know anything about Schubel at this point?
I think I knew that he like did really well in his first season and that he was kind of sneaky. Like, Austin had sent out a video with some of his like favorite moments from the past four seasons. And so Schubel was in there with the fake idol thing. And so I knew he was someone to like definitely be careful of. But once we swapped tribes, I also didn't really feel that comfortable in my position. Since I had helped out with season four, I knew that Shannon, Micah, and Evan were already a pretty tight trio. And then with Michelle trying to get in on that, I was like, you know what, like I really got to work with whoever I can to at least like stay safe for the next couple weeks. And so I think like in another situation, maybe Schubel wouldn't have been my first pick for like a tight alliance, but the numbers kind of worked out the way they did. And I think Schubel and I actually like got along really well in our alliance. So it was definitely like an added benefit to.
Yeah, maybe the best thing possible that you didn't know anything about Jordan Schubel before coming onto that team.
Definitely, definitely. Otherwise, I would have been extremely, extremely wary.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, you have the entire trio swapping onto this same team. Did it seem like pretty much everyone was aware the game is now get on board with those three and that will get you to the merge?
I think that everyone had a sense, maybe not as much as I had about like how tight they were, because, you know, I like saw them play idols for each other in season four. I was like, wow, like, I don't think they're going to ever go against each other, but you could kind of feel that the season four players had the power in that swap tribe because there were four of them on a tribe of, I think it was seven. Right. And so just knowing that you really wanted to get in with whoever had the numbers. And, you know, with like Shannon, Evan and Micah all being really good players as well, like, you know, it's likely that they're going to step up and take control of the tribe. You want to work with them.
Yeah. So what did we see, or I guess what didn't we see is what I should be saying about how things were playing out on this tribe. You guys are going to lose the first immunity and end up booting Michelle. But from that point, you guys are going to win out until the merge. What was going on within this tribe?
Mm-hmm. I think that like because we only lost the first challenge, we had a lot of time to really bond and get to know each other. And I think something that wasn't really shown on my end was that I was having a lot of conversations with Shannon, with Evan, with Micah, like sometimes by ourselves. And I think since I was pretty tight with Sierra, I knew who her partner was. And so I had reached out to Micah saying like, hey, like I know your partner's with Sierra. I really want to help you guys get this double immunity. And that was something that I hope would have been like working in my favor had we gone back to tribal. Just the fact that like I was I hope that I was making it clear that I wanted to work with them in the long term. And I think just like the concert conversations that were happening isn't really shown on the screen just because, you know, like we weren't going to tribal. But I was also having a lot of conversations with Holly. So I think every single week when her tribe was going to tribal council, I was having conversations with her during that time. And I actually told her maybe the third week after the tribe swap, that Chris Thomas was my partner. So I was like, you know what, like, if you have to get him out, fine, but he's actually my partner. And if that's something that you can find useful for you in terms of forming relationships or generating information, like, use it. So Holly and I were really close, and I think she was the only person on the other tribe that I really talked to regularly by that point.
Yeah, that was something we just had, or I guess I and Austin just interviewed Holly recently, and she brought up that same thing about how close you guys were and you telling her about CT being your partner. And I thought that was potentially the biggest thing I've heard so far about what didn't really make air, meaning how close you and Holly were just the entire time. Now, maybe it's because including all of that would kind of tip how an otherwise hectic-looking endgame could potentially go. But I think so much kind of clicked into focus for me when Holly mentioned that as well, that you guys were really close and just for whatever reason, a lot of it didn't end up making the episode.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, since a lot of it wasn't immediately relevant, we were never on the same tribe during the swap parts, and their tribe was already crazy enough to begin with. Like, Austin probably didn't feel like it was necessary. And also with, like, editing, you want to keep a little bit of mystery, so.
Sure. Yeah. All right, so I guess actually just quickly, the Michelle boot specifically we kind of glossed over, but how did that go for you?
So with that boot in particular, I think I didn't really realize how big of a role Shubal had played in getting the target off of my back until I actually really watched it. Like, I knew that my name was going up, but I thought it was primarily coming from, like, Michelle or maybe Faluke, and I didn't realize that the Soka trio was so big on wanting to vote me out at first. And so I remember that week, it was our first week as the swap tribe. I tried to talk with everyone one-on-one, and I wasn't getting, like, a lot of information. But then Shubal and I synced up, and Shubal was really good in keeping me in the loop about things. And after that, he told me that he had a relationship with Alex. Alex and I kind of mended our fences from Terrapin Trials. And I don't remember too much from that, but I think that I really did feel out of the loop, and there was a meeting in the fishbowl, like, right before tribal, where everyone in the tribe, except for me and Alex, were in there talking, and Alex and I were essentially just, like, in the lobby outside, and we knew that they were in there, but we didn't really feel like it was our place because they hadn't explicitly, like, asked us to join them. So we just, like, kept on looking at each other, like, okay, like, when are they coming out? We know they're talking about us. But I, like, wasn't really sure where my standing was at the time. And I kind of just, like, had the hope that my relationships with Shubal and the fact that I'd, like, reached out to Evan, Micah, and Shannon individually, that they felt like I would be someone that they wanted to keep in at least for that week.
Okay, and that does end up going your way, so to speak, I suppose. And then, as mentioned, you guys are going to run the table in the immunity challenges up until the merge. So let's get into this merge here. How did you feel about the makeup of this group that has now come together into one tribe and where you stood within that?
Yeah, the makeup of the group was pretty cool. I think just having the combination of, like, really big, well-known players and then some people who are more, like, more quiet or more in the shadows was something that was really interesting. And I, you know, that was my first time that I really got to play in the same tribe with, like, Chris LeCompte and some of these, like, really big names. And so I wanted to see how that would go down. I think that was really, really interesting. With the merge, I don't think I felt that comfortable. I knew that I had my relationship with Shubal and with Alex, and I think we had just told Chris Thomas, like, right before the merge or right after the merge, and so he was, like, a potential forming relationship. But I, like, I don't think I could have really been like, oh, long-term, this is something I really want to work with. I was more open, and I wanted to see what would happen and where the lines would be drawn.
So with the merge coming up, were you planning to step into a more assertive role, or did you like just kind of taking more of a backseat and letting some of these bigger players go to war with each other?
I think, so there was an element of me, like, I remember after the swap was around the time that Anders, who's the new host of Survivor Maryland, started helping out. And I asked him to dinner one day, and we were talking about Survivor. I was like, you know what, Anders, like, I feel like I'm not doing anything this game. I've been really upset about, like, the little leeway that I've been feeling like I've been able to have just in terms of like making decisions. I feel like I've just been listening to other people. And so after that conversation, I feel like it really like clicked in my brain that I needed just to like step up and start doing things. But I think at the beginning of the merge, I still didn't really feel like I had that opportunity. And it was also kind of hard because I know I was working with some pretty big players like Shubal. And a lot of the time, Shubal and I, like, we had a great relationship, but also he was, like, really trying to undermine a lot of the things that I was doing.
That doesn't sound like Jordan Shubal.
No, really? But, like, Alex and I, we, like, talked a lot, and I would keep on telling Alex things that would contradict what Shubal had been telling him, but I was telling him the truth. But Alex would be like, no, that's not, that can't be. Shubal told me something else. And so I actually told Alex that Chris Thomas was my partner, and I showed him the picture that Austin sent the girls with, like, the name of their partner, and Alex would be like, no, this can't be. You're lying to me, Victoria. And I wanted to pull my hair out from a very early point because I'm like, Alex, open your eyes. Shubal is clearly lying to me. It's lying to you, but like he just couldn't get it into his head, you know? And so just like a lot of people, I think, kind of went into interactions with me with that already, that image that like Victoria must be lying to me. And so it was kind of hard to work with at first. Yeah. So I don't think like I really had a chance to make super big moves early merge because, you know, no one just really like trusted me.
I mean, I remember at this point in the season, we were continuing to describe your situation, you know, as these episodes were airing, as a lot like Aubrey in Game Changers, where it seemed like because of your reputation entering the season, there was a lot less room to play than would have otherwise existed, you know, if people didn't know who you were. And obviously, a deep run is still possible, but it is certainly an uphill battle when everyone's coming into, especially a merge situation, already super wary of you. But it seems like you did a good job once you finally were able to interact with some of the people you hadn't played that much with from the other teams. And I was wondering how you were feeling at this point now about Chris Thomas and the pursuit of that partner twist.
Yeah, so once it got to the merge, there weren't that many partners left. And so I was like, wow, we could actually win this. And a part of me was like, wouldn't it be funny if Chris Thomas and I won this twist and he had no idea? And so there was a part of me that just like wanted to do that for the entertainment value. But I was also like, Victoria, that's stupid. He's a number that you could actually use. But I just like had this storyline in my head, like, what if Austin had to tell him that he won the twist? But once I like started connecting with him, I started realizing that like a lot of my preconceived notions about him were actually kind of wrong. Like CT and I are really, really good friends now. We get along really well for what I would have seen as like really unexpected reasons. Because I think on paper we're like pretty different people. But like, no, like he's a super cool guy. He has really good like strategic thinking as well. And so when we had conversations, he'd be like, oh, like that's a great idea, but like, what do you think about this? And he'd just question like my perspective. And I think that was something that was really, really valuable later in the game. But once we really started interacting, especially with Shubal helping out at first, like I started realizing that, you know, like I should definitely give this guy a chance, and he's definitely not nearly as bad as I imagined him to be.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And, of course, plenty more on that relationship as it evolves, which it will quickly do after we lose a couple of people. But let's get into just this merge boot and Faluke leaving, which I'm guessing probably wasn't a bad name to have come off the board for you. But from your spot, how did this go down? Because it seems like, based on at least the episode and what we've heard so far, like Faluke just wasn't super invested in the game, and that may have been one of the primary motivations here, or at least one of the reasons that things didn't end up going her way or were so easily turned against her, I suppose. But is that roughly in line with your experience?
So that week in particular, I was not in Maryland. I was away in Connecticut for a case competition for most of the weekend. And so Austin, because of my scheduling, Austin put like, I think it was almost a full week in between our challenge and our tribal council. And I think just like having that much time when everyone's already paranoid, it's first vote of the merge, you're not sure what's going to happen. Like everyone else is like really, really talking. And I know like a bunch of names came up. For like bigger players, for like Holly, for Shannon, whatever. And I think part of the reason why we kind of settled on Fluke. It was like, you know what, like this might not rock too many boats. I also know that with Micah and Evan, they kind of realized at that time that maybe Shannon was a threat to them winning in the future because Shannon had so many great relationships. And so I think they just wanted to like knock her down a notch and take out Fluke, who I think wasn't really talking to anyone actively. I think she was more sitting back and having conversations if other people reached out to her, but not really trying to initiate anything. And that might have been her strategy just because she was already coming in later. So she didn't want to seem like she was trying to like take too much control that early. But I think that was something that didn't work out in her favor because, you know, some people were just like, oh, I haven't even talked to her. I'll be willing to write her name down.
How big of a weight was it off of your shoulders to have Faluke out of the game?
I think at that point I was like, I had come to acceptance about the fact that she was in the game. So I don't, when I like wrote her name down, I don't think I was like, oh, I'm so glad you're gone. But you know, I think it did kind of open things up for me a little bit just to not have that extra baggage. Because I think in the future, if she had stayed in longer, we probably would have connected and had to talk about like what had to happen in Terrapin Trials. And I wasn't really sure where I was like mentally and emotionally about having that conversation at that point.
It seemed like a lot of the fans saw that as something of a missed opportunity. Firstly, just not having Fluke, this massive character and personality, in the game for much longer, but also to not really get closure on that storyline between the two of you, where if it would make sense if you still harbored feelings about the way Terrapin Trials ended and there was still some tension there, or if you had come to this amazing reconciliation, whereas instead it just felt like kind of mutual indifference by the end.
Mm-hmm. I definitely know that a lot of fans like really wanted that closure. And I think that's something that I see as one of my weaknesses in terms of my personality, but I'm like someone who kind of holds on to things. If you can't tell, you know, like I'm a little bit stubborn. And so I don't think I was at that time really willing to reach out to her to even mend any of that. Like, I think, like I said, like if she had reached out, I would have been open to that conversation, but I wasn't really willing to make the first move. And I think she was probably in a very similar position. And so we kind of just like left things hanging. I think it was just like really hard because a lot of the things in real life that blended into the game, like even to this day, I'm not fully sure, like, you know, what could have been perceived as like me, Victoria, doing things, or like me doing things for the game because I wanted to win. And I think Austin did say that, like, you know, sometimes this does happen, like you don't have your picture perfect fairy tale kind of ending. And I think like now, you know, it's been more than a few years, Faluke and I, like, we haven't really interacted since graduating or seeing each other, but I think we're just like at a point where our paths just haven't really crossed again. And sometimes that happens in life, even though you don't really want that to happen, but sometimes it does.
Would there be weirdness if you guys did somehow, you know, cross paths on the middle of the street? Would you stop and say hi?
Oh, I like definitely think I would say hi, but I don't think we could like ever really be friends anymore after like everything that's happened. But I mean, like, you never know where life's going to take you in the future, I guess. But I'd like to think that like I'd definitely be friendly if I saw her again.
Okay, so there goes Faluke, and we now have 11 people left in the game. And I was curious what you thought at this point, because this is going to be the round where Shubal is going to play the first idol, I guess the only idol that ever ends up getting played this season. What were you thinking prior to seeing that about where the idol might be, if anyone had it at all?
So at this point, it was a little bit early in the merge. And
as in who would
couple
have it, not physically where it would be on campus. Sorry. Yeah.
Right. But it was like only a couple of clues had gone out. And so I don't think I even like really thought of a swap idol that Shubal had. And so there were like some rumors about maybe Holly having an idol, or maybe Mike and Evan finding the idol, because they were the only ones who really like had direct access to a clue. And so at that point, like, it wasn't really on my mind. I think once Shubal showed me the idol, I was like, wow, like, this is amazing. But I was like flabbergasted because like, where did you even find this? but other than that, like, we weren't really sure if there were any other idols in play, but if they were, it would not have been like in our group of five. It would have been on the other side.
Okay. And were you yourself early on in the game trying to pursue getting idols, or was that something that was just happening? And if it came to you, great.
So something that wasn't shown in Terrapin Trials is that I'm very bad at finding idols. I attempted to find the Terrapin Trials idol many, many times and literally had no luck. And then that one time when Feluke and I went out, she just like got off for 5 minutes by herself and pulled it out of the leaves or whatever. And so I was like, okay, Victoria, clearly you suck at this. And so,
did you consider trying to steal an idol? That might have went a little bit better.
No, because I think Austin specifically said that wasn't allowed. Maybe I would have considered it if it weren't the rules. But like, because I knew I was already so bad at finding idols, it wasn't something that I like really actively was trying to pursue. And I never had access to a clue in the early stages of the game. And so with campus being so big, I was like, there's really no point. Like, that's just, you know, like a lifeline that you're not even going to get. So you might as well spend your time trying to form relationships and save yourself in other ways than pulling out this magic trick from the middle of this gigantic campus.
Yeah, I'm with that. So in this round of 11, this is going to be where we end up losing Chris LeCompte here. And you had mentioned being excited about the prospect before the season began of playing with some of the bigger names in Survivor Maryland history and Chris LeCompte, and almost looking forward to getting to see his kind of theatrics and lies and scheming up close and personal. Do you end up getting your money's worth?
Oh, definitely. I do think that, you know, with the way that the tribes played out, I never really had a lot of a chance to play with Chris. I think maybe in a different world, we might have actually had an alliance. He was definitely someone that I wanted to work with, or at least like, you know, talk with and see if we could work together. And not really having that opportunity. By merge time, it was kind of set in stone that I was with Shubal and he and Shubal were against each other. So I had to be against Chris LeCompte. But it was definitely really cool to see him play. And just like some of the things that he does are insane. He's just like so strong at talking to people and making them feel emotionally like they have a connection with you. So even in like the very minimal conversations I had with him, like I was like, oh wow, like Chris is being so genuine, even though later on I'd find out he'd like lied straight to my face about something. I'm like, why would you lie? It's not like we were ever on the same tribe. But he would just like lie about like the smallest details. I'm like, okay, Chris, but you know, like the fact that when he's talking with you, you think he's so genuine and you're like, wow, like this guy's so great. And you know that he's like a strong player, a big personality, but you kind of want to keep him in at the same time. You know, I think that's something that he definitely has a talent in doing.
Yeah, I mean, we just did a 2+ hour interview with this guy and now I'm rethinking everything he told us and wondering what the angle is. Yeah. So there goes LeCompte here. And we now get to this round of 10 where we're going to ultimately go to Rox. How quickly did it become clear that it was a 5-on-5 situation? And was that something you had anticipated as LeCompte was on his way out?
Mm-hmm. I think when we voted out Chris, we thought there would have been maybe some flexibility in terms of the numbers, just because like with All-Stars, the game was constantly evolving and constantly changing. But I think once we got closer to that tribal, we were starting to realize that, you know what, like Rox is a very, very likely scenario. And I think I kind of had the sense that my side would not be willing to switch. So if there were someone switching their vote to avoid the Rox scenario, it would have been more likely to be someone from their side. But also like from a logic perspective, I think a lot of them, like they knew that it wouldn't really make sense because then they'd probably be on the bottom of R5 and staying loyal and going to Rox would probably just been the best option for them. I know that we were like really hoping that Eric might switch over just because his partner was on our side, but that didn't really happen. And so I think Rox, we were kind of looking forward to Rox. I don't know if, I think like in the video we were like excited and like dancing and stuff once we found out it was Rox, because like technically we had a better shot of not pulling the purple rock.
Oh, and I mean, certainly it is, first of all, an exciting just kind of moment, especially you know, when there's not $1 million at stake if you end up drawing the bad rock potentially. But yeah, no, this is, I think, also a really good spot. You know, if you're trying to get someone from the other side to flip, if you're the side that is dancing and happy about the possibility of rocks, that is essentially sending the message, none of us are flipping. One of you guys is going to need to flip if you want to avoid rocks.
Right, right, exactly. And so we thought like the numbers were kind of on our side. It did not work out. But yeah, unfortunately, Shubal is rocked out. And I think that also like kind of kick-started my game in a different way.
How did you feel about Shubal? Obviously not great, considering the rock ends up on your side. But if it's going to be someone from your side, how did you feel about it being Shubal in particular?
So I think I didn't really walk through the options in my head about like what would happen if this person had pulled a rock. But Shubal was probably my closest alliance at that time and at that point in the game. And so if it were anyone on our side to pull the rock, I hate to say it, but I really was hoping it'd be Shannon, because then CT and I would have won the partner immunity. But with Shubal getting the rock, I think immediately I was like devastated. It was like, wow, like Shubal's been the glue that's been holding our five together, especially since like I think he was the one who really started a lot of the relationships, and then he brought us all in together. So we were kind of like a ragtag group. And because of Shubal, we formed this like bottom alliance. And, you know, like I was just like so upset. I did not think about the possibility beforehand. But afterward, I think like the next morning after I'd had some time to process it, I actually realized that it could have been good for my game, because in some ways, like Shubal is definitely keeping me, like trying to keep me in his pocket. And I would like try to jump out and he'd like squash me back down. So the fact that he was out of the game at that point, while from a numbers perspective it wasn't good, it also allowed me to kind of open up a little bit more and try out some different relationships that I had with other people at the merge.
Were you tweaking anything now that the jury phase had began, or were you just keep on keeping on?
I'm not positive. I think that there was some element of me wanting to maybe like curry Jerry a favor. So if I didn't have to backstab someone, I tried not to. But at this point, when it was still early, I knew that I just needed to really play hard and form relationships, and then I would be able to keep going a week at a time. I think that I did start thinking about jury more heavily like later on, like after probably after like Final 7-ish, as it got much deeper in the game. But this early, I was not thinking about it.
Who at this point, kind of early post-merge, were you viewing as the big threats to win at this point?
I think Evan, because he's always like a really big character. Even though I'm not sure if like Evan had some like major moves that could have been really accredited to him, I think just like his reputation, his personality, make him someone that is like seen as a big threat. And then also I think like Holly was definitely starting to emerge as a threat, but then Holly and I also had that relationship, and the fact that I'd backstabbed her in our first season, I like didn't really want to try to get her out that early. But you know, you definitely noticed that there were some people who were more likely to win the game if they were sitting at the end, as opposed to some people more like, you know, like Alex or, you know, so
we got you.
It's good. I hate to say it. Alex is great.
I'm sure he's listening to this intently. So, yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought I heard Dom talking, but never mind. So let's get into this round of nine here, where you guys are going to come up with the partner twist when King ultimately turns on Shannon. When you come up with this idea to try to make that happen, how realistic did you think that was? And did you think it actually made sense for King? Because this has been something that was hotly debated, obviously, when it happened. But I actually think Austin said, and I think it made sense, that King was right in saying he didn't really need the partner twist, and this could have potentially made sense for him.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think in the moment, I thought he was pretty stupid. So at that point, because Shannon was on CT and my side in terms of voting, I think we'd approached King and been like, hey, you know what? Like, let's just ride it out until the partner twist isn't even valid anymore. Like, let's have none of us win it, and then we can start taking each other out after final. I think it was like final six or whatever it was, when there was like no advantage, no immunity whatsoever. And so I thought that was something that was like a really viable option for Eric, because if we kind of promised that like we wouldn't target each other, we'd be at least safe for a couple weeks. So it'd be like we at all kind of want immunity, right? But I like also do understand that I think if he felt like if he tried to flip to our side, he would definitely be at the bottom. And since there was no guarantee that we were never going to vote him out, flipping to our side wouldn't have been that smart. So I think like you could definitely argue both ways. I know that me, like I was really genuine about like wanting to just not have the partner's twist come to fruition. So when he voted out Shannon, I didn't even think that was a possibility. I think like CT gave King the immunity necklace before we voted, and I was like, what are you doing? He's not going to do anything. And so when he voted out Shannon, I was pretty shocked. But, yeah. You know, like, even though my side, like, lost a number, it definitely really worked out because Chris Thomas and I were immune for 2 weeks.
Right. And you also get to, I think, critically compete in these immunity challenges as well and get that forever immune trifecta ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what did you think? Obviously not great having Shannon, one person from your side, leave. But there, as mentioned, there are some benefits here. But now... after you win this partner twist and you know you're going to be immune for the next couple of rounds, even though your side has taken kind of a hit, what's the game plan from there?
I think the immediate game plan was like try to win immunity so Alex would be safe, because we very strongly, CT and I, felt like, wow, it's now, you know, their group versus us. And because like Eric had been so unwilling to come join us, we thought Eric was the most likely because of his partner. And we were like, you know what? Like, there's absolutely no leeway. We can't work it. So we're back on the bottom. We really just got to make sure we're all safe. And, you know, even though CT and I were immune, had we lost Alex at that point, it would have been devastating, because after immunity ran up, I don't think like we could have really lasted any much longer. And so short-term plan was try to win immunity. I think like we thought we had an okay chance because, Chris Thomas is like really good at immunity challenges. But you know, like from there, we kind of just wanted to see what relationships would happen and where things would go.
Yeah. Well, let's not sell yourself too short on these immunity challenges coming up either. But yeah, so this is going to be an interesting spot, but it sounds like, you know, if individual immunities aren't a factor and this is just the group of nine, as far as you can tell, or excuse me, the group of eight, as far as you can tell, it would have been those five as in the final five if you guys didn't have necklaces to get in the way?
I think if the pairs twist weren't a consideration, things might have been a little bit different, because I did have some relationships with Holly and also some relationships with Ashley. But at that point, it was really clear that both Micah and Evan were pretty unwilling to, you know, work with us. I think especially back when Shubal was in the game, Mike and Evan had some conversations with us and they would just lie straight to our faces. And so it kind of felt like with those two being in the game and then with Eric being pretty close with Mike and Evan, there wasn't a lot of leeway for us to even slip in or get off the chopping block. So I think like, you know, had the Paris thing not been a thing from the very beginning, maybe, but by that point in the game, lines were pretty clearly drawn, I'd say.
Okay, so now you guys do end up getting this third immunity necklace for your side that you can pass off to Alex G, and now all three of you are immune. What is the situation as this big group of five is now forced to turn on itself, and how did you feel about Evan ultimately being the person to leave?
So I think CT, Alex, and I were probably a little bit obnoxious in how excited we were. But it kind of just felt like we finally got things to go our way again after losing Shubal, after losing Shannon. And so once the five realized that they had to turn upon each other, we kind of took a step back, I think, and kind of let them figure out who they wanted to vote out. My group, though, the group of five and then four, we had voted for Evan twice previously, I think. And so I think Evan was probably a more obvious choice, like, oh, you know, he's a very big target. He has a partner with not a partner, but he's so close with Micah that they're probably not going to backstab each other. So, you know, I was very, very happy, to be honest, that they landed on Evan. But I don't think like I really wanted to step in and be like, hey, like, I think you should vote for this person, because I already knew it was going to be a hard decision for them. And taking out one of their numbers would have been beneficial for me in any way, except for maybe like Holly. But I didn't think Holly was going to be on the chopping block that week. So.
Okay. Sorry. let's get into this round of seven, which is going to be insane when word gets out that Micah has found the idol that everyone has known the rough location of, but was digging under the wrong leg of the testuda or whatever. And how, you know, of course, this is going to be not great news, given that Micah seems like a tasty person to be taking out here. So how did you go about trying to get him to sit on this idol and get the votes on him?
It was legitimately insane. Like, we got the idol clue, the challenge prior, I think, and CT looked at it and he was like, you know what, this is the same idol, like, let's not even search for it, it's definitely gone. And so now looking back, I'm like, wow, we were so stupid, because Austin kept on giving us clues, you know, like, we should have just gone out and looked. And especially CT and I, we both had, like, really, really good opportunities to find that. But I think I got a little bit, maybe not lucky per se, but I'd been kind of planting seeds with Micah throughout the course of the season. So, you know, like, back when Sierra was still in the game, saying that I wanted to help him. And then I think right after Evan got voted out, I texted Micah, like, hey, I know that we just voted out your tightest friend in the game, but I still want to really work with you. And I think at that point that was true, because I saw Micah as someone, when operating by himself, was more likely to, you know, be a little bit more flexible and try to do things that he thought was like in his individual best interest. Like, I didn't see him being as close with Ashley, Holly, and Eric as maybe Evan had been. So I think part of the reason why Micah even told me that he had the idol is because, like, you know, like, we'd been trying to work together to some extent throughout the course of the season. And then I think he said, I'd just been, like, nagging him, like, oh, my God, what if Holly has the idol? And so he was so frustrated with me, like, Victoria, I have the idol. Stop. You know, this is a moot point. But once he told me, I think, like, at first I was like, oh, so should we just, like, get Holly out or something? And I was like, no, this is stupid. Micah has this much power in the game. We cannot let him have it. And so I immediately, like, told everyone, essentially, that Micah had the idol. I actually told Alex, and Alex went to Micah afterward, like, so Micah, do you have an idol? And so that was another reason why Alex was just, like, getting on my nerves. But everyone at Tribal Council sitting there knew that Micah had an idol. And so at that point, it was just like me trying to persuade Micah that, you know, we weren't going to go vote for him. We were going to go along with the plan. And earlier that day, I think King and I sat down for the first time, like, one-on-one after the merge to just talk things out. And that's when we were like, okay, let's move the target from Holly to Ashley, because I'm a lot more willing to vote Ashley than I am willing to vote Holly. And I think having that conversation with King, and then right before Tribal, I walked back up to Mike. I was like, hey, like, everything's good. I want you to trust me. I think because of that, he was like, oh, like, I think Victoria's telling me the truth. I can be comfortable this week. And so I legitimately didn't think he would actually not play his idol. But once he did it, I was like, wow, like, my mind is blown. But we just executed this huge move in the game. And so I thought he would play it, but he didn't. And that just added, like, another thing to my resume, I guess.
Can you explain this Holly phenomenon? Because it seemed like for most of the game, everybody trusted Holly implicitly. And even as the numbers were getting lower and something had to give, it felt like everyone had Holly penciled in for their final two or their final three, even when it didn't seem to make any sense for her or for them. So what was it about Holly that just made people, including you, who, you know, you maybe had the less reason of anyone based on your history together, what was it that just made her such a compelling ally?
I think the way that Holly plays is very personable. She's really good at relating with you. She shares a lot of information. And so that builds a lot of trust. And I think because she's, like, such an outgoing, like, friendly person, she's really good at doing that with everyone. And so especially at that point in the game when there were some people that I hadn't really talked to a ton, I felt a lot more comfortable with Holly because I knew that whenever I talked to Holly, she was telling me the truth. She was giving it to me straight. So even though I knew Holly was also this really big competitor, having her in for the information, for the relationship that we had built, had become, like, you know, really important to me and at the forefront of my consideration when wanting to take out people. And so I think, like, with CT as well, he kind of felt the same thing because especially after their swap tribe, they started working together. So they built that relationship. I think a lot of people just, you know, Holly's really good at relating with others and forming those relationships. And that's really, really critical in Survivor. And I feel like from my experiences having played Survivor Maryland, I think the social game is probably the most important, because you can still get by without having a really strong like physical game or whatever. But if your social game is not up to par, you are not going to last. And I think Holly is really, really strong at that, if not like the strongest in all of the Survivor Maryland cast.
Yeah, I mean, I think Holly over the course of this season is the epitome of that philosophy being overwhelmingly true, that the social game is far more important, particularly on Survivor Maryland compared to CBS, than the physical game or whatever else. And so, yeah, but actually one question I had, because this is a couple of times now that you've, as far as I've been concerned, kind of undersold yourself in terms of being a challenge competitor. Was that something that surprised you, winning? I think you won at final seven, going up and down the stairs with the combo lock, whatever round that was, and then also hanging on to the lamppost for however many hours. Did that take you by surprise, being that good at the challenges? And was that something that you thought was suddenly becoming a selling point if you made it to the end?
So I kind of had the sense that I'd be okay at individual immunity challenges. I think I'm not so great with group immunity challenges. But in Terrapin Trials, I did win two individual immunities as well. So I knew that was something that I could bring to my resume. But it was also something that I didn't want to pull out like super soon, in case anyone like saw that as another reason to put me on the chopping block. And so I think with the pool challenge, I was more confident because I'd actually won that challenge in my first season as well. So I think I was like kind of dancing around the pole a little bit, being like, Holly, I'm not going to jump off this pole. You might as well jump off. But with the lock challenge, running up and down, I like didn't even realize that I had unlocked my first lock, like, before anyone else.
You smoked and so, people, and Austin was, like, blown away. He was like, wait, is it already unlocked? And you were like, yeah, duh.
Yeah. No, I was really annoyed at that because he told us to, like, leave it back on the string or whatever. And I couldn't change the numbers, and I was like, what if someone looks at my lock? And so I just did not realize how ahead I was. And I think, like, even when I won immunity, I hadn't realized. And then I watched back the episodes and realized, like, no one even unlocked any of their other locks. I was like, oh, whoa, like, that was actually really impressive.
That was a clean sweep. It was like the big, I guess Chris Thomas in the 6 a.m. challenge or whatever was also a huge blowout.
Oh my God.
But
yeah.
One of very few just complete dominations of an individual challenge.
Yeah. I do think that a lot of the more individual immunity challenges are more suited to my strengths. And especially since, like, later on in the game, I was the only player who'd gotten that far in their first season, so I kind of knew what those challenges would entail, you know? And so, like, with the challenge that I think it was, like, the final five challenge that I got out on afterward, I'd taken notes on, like, the season and what questions Austin might ask. And so I, like, kept on getting those questions right. It was just the freaking sponge. But I was like, you know, like, I think I can actually be prepared for these. So I think later on the game, like, even after the individual immunities from our partner's twist had gone away, I think I was still pretty confident that I could maybe win one, maybe two even, if I were able to last that far. So that was something, like, a hidden strength that I had in my back pocket, but it was also something I didn't want others to be really aware of, that was something I could do.
At this point, as we get really near the end game, who were you hoping to be sitting next to in the end, if you had a clear idea?
Yeah, so that is a really good question, because there were some people I wanted to sit next to, but now having seen the episodes and having heard, like, what other players have said, I think I probably would have taken myself to a loss, to be completely honest. But I was actually pretty willing at that point to sit next to Chris Thomas at the end, just because I thought we played fairly similar games, and I really did think that I would be more able to articulate exactly what I'd done. And tie in my story about how I came in with this really big reputation, had to really overcome a lot of that to get as far as I did. And then I think I also, like, there was a part of me that every week I was like, oh, should I take out Holly now? Should I take her out now? And then I'd be like, oh, no, Victoria, you backstabbed her your first time. You got to stay loyal to this relationship. And I think a part of me even questioned if maybe Holly was someone I wanted to sit next to, which now I know probably would have been, like, the biggest mistake ever. But I also, I think like there was a part of me that wanted someone who was seen as like a really big player to win All-Stars. And so I don't think like I would have been as happy sitting next to Eric or Ashley. And so like later on, I think like final six, I voted for Ashley because I kind of wanted the less big players to maybe start leaving. So then like the big players would just have to fight it out among themselves. I think that was kind of my mentality towards it, towards the end.
You often hear that idea and vote of the best going against the best, or that warrior spirit or whatever. And usually that's the big players in a stroke of desperation trying to come up with some argument they can use to keep themselves around. But it sounded like, in your case at least, you actually did want to realize that to some degree.
Yeah, I think part of it was also we weren't sure if Survivor Maryland was going to continue. At the time, like, Anders hadn't really started putting out season six information. And so, like, you know, what if this is the last season? And I think Austin kind of gave us the sense that, or not everyone, but, like, in doing confessionals with me, he kind of gave me the sense that, like, he wouldn't have been as happy if a smaller player had won his All-Star season. So I wanted that to come to fruition and let him, you know, have, like, the best season possible to just, like, go out in a blaze of glory. So, you know, maybe now looking back, like, had I gone that far, I might have lost. But I think, like, I, at that point, was really, really comfortable, like, wanting to sit next to Chris Thomas or even Holly.
I remember over the, you know, as it was airing, before we ended up seeing you get voted out, my analysis of watching you and Chris Thomas work as a duo, I remember saying it really seems to me like Chris Thomas is, and sorry for people who don't watch Breaking Bad, but Chris Thomas seems like the Jesse Pinkman and Victoria seems like the Heisenberg of this duo. And I really think you could have made some compelling arguments if you were sitting next to specifically Chris in the end. I think there is an element of absolute truth to the idea that Chris got so much of his momentum because you allowed him to get so much of that momentum by looping him in.
Right. I think that's something that is, I've come to realize that something I don't do well is, you know, like in those relationships, I do feel like I gave him a lot of information. I led a lot of the strategy, but I think I did it in a very quiet way where a lot of people didn't realize. And so when the Micah elimination episode came out, Micah actually posted in our group meeting, it was like, Victoria, I didn't even know that you were behind that. I thought it was Chris Thomas the whole time. And I did not realize to what extent, like, people did not see me behind some of these actions, you know? So I think, like, from a jury perspective, because what the jury was seeing was, like, you know, Chris being extremely, like, loud, outgoing, doing all of these things, they probably thought that he would have been driving everything, whereas it was definitely more of an equal dynamic, or sometimes me taking more initiative. But, you know, for the jury, perception is reality. So I think that's maybe another reason why I could have lost had I been sitting next to CT. But you can't say for sure.
Yeah. Well, actually, before we get into your elimination here, just because I'm going to forget to ask this if I put it off, what were the other big surprises for you watching the episodes back?
I think a lot of the stuff that was happening on the opposite tribes before the merge were things that I wasn't 100% clear on. Like, I would obviously know who got voted out. I tended to know what the general vote patterns were. But, like, in terms of the nitty-gritty, there were a lot of things that really surprised me, especially with a lot of the cross-tribal things. I didn't realize how much, like, Chris LeCompte was trying to get some of the girls out while he was on the guys' tribe. I also, like, didn't even really know how the Shubal Sabrina thing really went down. I got a call from, I think it was from Shannon, the day after the tribal where Sabrina pulled out the fake idol and was like, Victoria, you know, like, Sabrina pulled out this fake idol. We think Shubal gave it to her. Why would your partner give her this idol? And I was like completely taken aback. I was like, oh, Shannon, like, let me talk to my partner and let me see what he said. And I was like, Shubal, you're really killing me here, you know, like, you're not giving me any information, but other people think that we're working closely together. And so stuff like that, I think I, like, didn't really know all of the details. But after the merge, there weren't too many things that I think surprised me. It was mostly just, like, earlier in the game.
That's a sign of a game well played, I would say. The fewer surprises, the better for the TV episodes. But let's get into your elimination here at the round of five. Do you feel like had Chris not won this immunity, it could have potentially been him? Or do you think people, after your vote at the final six round, were starting to really worry more about you, like, playing to the jury and things of that nature?
So I think there were maybe two key elements that really affected that vote. So one, the vote beforehand, I'd kind of pandered to Alex a little bit and voted on his side, even though I'd kind of been the one who brought up Alex's name in the first place when I was on the polls with Holly. And so, like, wanting to keep Alex's vote and knowing that he'd probably be bitter if I voted against him, I'd voted for Ashley. And afterward, I hadn't really mended fences with Ashley prior to the challenge. So she was a little bit upset that I'd written down her name, right? And so that gave her a reason to vote for me in the next vote. And then also, we... by this time, like, scheduling had gotten really hard because it was deeper in the semester. I think it was, like, getting closer to finals even. So we couldn't really set up a time to do the tribal. And usually we, like, arrange that after we have the challenges. And so in, like, a moment of desperation, someone was like, okay, let's just do it in an hour. And Austin's like, you know what? Like, if you guys want to do it in an hour, we can do tribal in an hour. And so we really only had, like, maybe a little more than an hour to kind of figure things out. And I feel like if the time between our challenge and tribal had been a little bit longer, maybe things could have gone differently. But had Chris Thomas not won immunity, I don't think there's a possibility that maybe he would have gotten voted out. But I actually think that he had really strong relationships with everyone left in the game at that point. Like, I think I was a lot closer with Alex than he was later in the game. So in voting out Alex, it hurt me a lot more than it hurt Chris. And Chris is pretty close with King because they, like, know each other. Chris is close with Holly, pretty close with Ashley. And so I don't even know if his name would have been, like, an obvious vote out had he not won the immunity. But because I hadn't won, I think it was like pretty clear, like, Victoria could be a challenge threat. She's starting to get deep in the game when she could become pretty dangerous and deceitful. And she's probably someone we don't really want to keep around anymore.
Yeah. And understandable, I would say, on all of their parts. I think that sounds pretty correct based on everything we've seen from you playing Survivor to that point. But what did you think ultimately about finishing in fifth place here? Another deep run, but once again coming up short.
Yeah, I think I was definitely disappointed that I was not able to make it as far as last time. But, you know, that would have been really hard beating my third place finish. I did really want to win coming into All-Stars, but I think I was also very happy with how I'd performed. I don't think I fully realized how big my reputation would precede me going into the season and having to deal with all of those challenges and seeing really what I was capable of was, like, one of my biggest takeaways from the season. I think I was just really proud that I was able to get as far as I had. And I'd also, like, made some changes to my game and tried to correct some of my mistakes from Terrapin Trials. And I think that as a whole just, like, really allowed me to, you know, it built a lot of confidence in myself. Like, I would not have said going in that, like, I could have thought I'd make it so far with so many big players and so many strong competitors. But, you know, like, ending that way also gave me, like, a lot more sense of closure. Like, I really enjoyed my Survivor experience as a whole, and having this kind of, like, cleaner ending where it was, like, very clear, like, for what reason other people were voting me out, I think, like, it's just, like, the perfect note. And, you know, even though I didn't win, I'm, like, very happy with how the season ended and how I left.
So now that you're on the jury, were you rooting for Chris Thomas first and foremost, or how are you ranking, I suppose, the other people left in the games in the game in terms of how likely you were to vote for them ultimately?
Mm-hmm. I think I was definitely really supportive of Chris Thomas, but if CT had been sitting next to Holly, I think I would have been in a pretty difficult position where I would have listened to both their cases and really had to figure out, like, who I thought played a stronger game. But I think, like, in terms of tiers, I was really rooting for CT, Holly, and then, like, Ashley and Eric were kind of closer to the bottom for me, just because I didn't really think they'd made, like, huge moves to be deemed, like, the winner of All-Stars. I think I was just, like, really wanted someone who I saw as, like, a really big player to just end our first experience with Austin. And I, like, really was in voting for who I did with the jury. I really was thinking, like, who do I think deserves the ultimate name of like all-star Survivor Maryland all-star. So I think like going in, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So based on some of the interviews that we've done and the other discussions that have taken place since the finale, the consensus seemed to be that by and large the edit was fairly faithful to what happened, but maybe one of the spots where it didn't line up with the perception of how people actually thought out there was Eric seemed to be a much bigger jury threat than I think most of the audience members, at least, would have given him credit for. Mm-hmm. And there's this idea that he played a bigger role in the game than maybe came through on air. But based on what you said, it sounds like you're maybe not a believer in that theory.
Yeah, I'm not personally a big believer. And I think partially it's because Eric and I have never really interacted a ton in the games, even though we played two seasons together. I think just the way that like all the relationships and alliances panned out just made it that way. And when I was on the jury, I remember in our Ponderosa chat, like people kind of joking that they would vote for Eric, and it kind of seemed like they would have voted for him because of their relationships, like, oh, I'm friends with Eric, he's a good guy, so I want to vote for him. And that's not really how I would have wanted to approach voting for the sole survivor. So I think that was just like based on my experience and my interactions. But definitely I think like there were some places in the edit where he was slightly undersold. But I think he also like really intentionally wanted to not play a really big game and take a step back. And I think that just made it really hard to see like what exactly he was doing and when he was like maybe like just hanging out with LaCombs or hanging out with Evan and Micah and not really doing things by himself.
All right, so Chris Thomas is ultimately going to win the final immunity challenge and take Ashley. I am guessing at this point your vote is pretty clear.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely became clear once he won the immunity challenge. And actually, I was there at that challenge, which is very untypical for Austin, but it was like 6 a.m. No one else on the crew was really wanting or like willing to go. So I think LeCompte was there, I was there, and I think Anders was there. It was just like us three helping Austin with this challenge. So I like saw how big of a blowout the challenge was, you know. I saw that like CT like completely took it away. And I think there was a point where like Eric was really struggling with the partners and like trying to match up who was partnered with who and who got eliminated when. I was like, Eric, come on, you got this. I was just like trying to motivate him to just like keep going. But you know, just like seeing that performance and knowing that CT was much more likely to take Ashley than anyone else at that point, I was pretty solidified going into final tribal counts as to who I would vote for.
Did you get the same sense from other jurors that it was going to be not a tough decision?
No, actually. I think there were a lot of people who were still very much on the fence. I think partially for the reason that CT can rub people the wrong way, especially in the beginning when he was like acting drunk and pretending like he didn't really care about the game. And then there were also some people, like people who would work closer with Ashley, who like really got to see exactly how she was playing. And so I think there were like Chris LeCompte in particular and some other people who were like probably really needed to pay attention during final tribal council to figure out who exactly they wanted to vote for. But I don't think I was really someone in that position.
So it was still potentially up in the air as far as you could tell entering final tribal.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there was also a lot of hate going towards Chris Thomas, from like the other side of the line, like the other five and whatever, because probably partially because they felt a little bit bitter that they got voted out, but then also bitter that like CT's been, like, especially in the beginning, he played like a pretty messy game and he's still been able to get so far. So I think like a lot of them expressed that they like really did not want to vote for Chris Thomas or something.
Yeah, he does have the vibe of just one of those guys where everything just magically always breaks his way. And that Survivor juries tend to not love that type of player historically.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, but Chris Thomas is going to be the winner of Survivor Maryland All-Stars. And I'm guessing you felt like this was a very solid season in the books.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, we were talking to Austin afterward, and we're like, Austin, we could not have given you a better season. I'm very, very happy to have been able to participate and just, like, play with such a great group of people, see what an amazing Survivor game could be like. And I think, like, I've been telling a lot of people, you know, give Survivor Maryland a chance. It's definitely a really good game. And I think, you know, like, it really adds to Survivor, like, this entire Survivor fandom.
Totally, yeah. Did you have any major regrets from along the way? Anything you would have definitely done differently?
I think it's really hard to say, but I do know that after I'd voted out Alex, I talked to Austin. I was like, you know what? Like, Austin, I think this decision really only hurt me and didn't really hurt anyone else. And I wonder if things would have been a little bit different had I kept Alex longer in the game, because voting him out at Final Six, I think I was just, I don't really know exactly what my reasoning was, but I think I was really fed up with him. Because he kept on, like, I would talk to him and be extremely truthful, and then he'd go and be like, oh, like, try to, like, confirm my story or something, and be like, I think Victoria's lying to me. And then he'd always talk about trying to get Chris Thomas out next, and even me to some extent, and we'd be like, okay, dude, we just handed you 2 weeks of immunity. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, if I were more willing to, like, just go with it. I think, like, Alex sometimes can be more of a talker, but he doesn't actually, like, go through with his plans. I think if I were more willing to go with it, I might have put myself in a better position, because by Final Six, I was probably his tightest alliance. And he had, like, much earlier in the game said that maybe we could have a Final Two or something. So I think had I had his number still, maybe things would have ended up a little bit differently.
Yeah, one of my favorite confessionals of the entire season is your comment on that about how, you know, if people were just handing me necklaces round after round, I would at least pretend to be a little bit more loyal. And I think it is understandable feeling obviously good about CT and Holly at that point. That's 3 out of 5 and three big players, a lot of good timelines for how the rest of All-Stars can play out if Alex G goes out at 6. But yeah, understandable to potentially want that one back. But one thing I want to ask you about that you just kind of flagged up a little bit is the how good the season was, and now that it's been airing, it really does seem like a lot of people are getting on board with that and do see a lot of value in adding Survivor Maryland into their regular kind of Survivor viewing rotation. What's it been like for you watching this become a relatively big thing?
It's been absolutely surreal. Like, I cannot even begin to explain. So I was actually in Los Angeles last week and into the weekend, and Anders recently moved out to LA. So we were getting, like, a late lunch at some random restaurant in LA. And after we get our check, the waiter comes up to us and is like, hey, I know this is weird, but I actually watched Survivor Maryland. And we were both just blown. Like, we were in Los Angeles on the other side of the country. No, I know. It was absolutely crazy. We were on the other side of the country, and this guy just, like, knew what we were, you know? And I, like, without a doubt, when I applied for Terrapin Trials as a freshman, I could have had no idea where this community would even go. And it's been amazing to see it blow up. But it's also been really amazing to see Austin get recognized for all of his contributions, because the amount of time and energy he's put together in just, like, hosting, editing, everything, I think it's amazing. And Austin has really been, like, the driving force behind all of this. I don't think, like, we could have been, you know, we're all, like, interesting people. We would have, like, had interesting stories in college, but there was no way we would have come together and told these stories together without Austin's hosting and Austin's being there. And so I think it's just been really amazing to have him get the much needed recognition that he deserves.
So on balance, despite the whole Faluke bait and switch, Austin still a good guy in your books.
Yeah, definitely a good guy after I got over it a little bit.
Yeah, Dom, any other questions that you had before I, you know, start wrapping up and shutting down the game discussion? I don't want to go too quickly here.
No, I think I'm all out. This was as comprehensive as I hoped and expected it would be.
Well, yeah, Victoria, thank you so much. Is there anywhere that you would want people to be finding you on social media or anything you want to plug?
So I'm not really active on Twitter, but you might see me liking some Survivor Maryland tweets if you tag the Twitter hashtag. But on Instagram, you can find me on Rhythmvic. So it's the word rhythmic with a V in the middle. That
Did
was a
Austin
really poor...
come up with that for you?
No, actually, it's not. But that was also a really poor way of explaining it. Otherwise, I'm not really that active on social media, but, you know, tweet about it. I'll read it eventually.
All right.
I love hearing from fans. So
there you go. Okay. I think that's going to do it. So as I awkwardly try to figure out if there's anything I'm forgetting and can't come up with anything, I suppose you can be following Dom on Twitter at DomHRV. I am at Colin Stone. And you can email the show domandcolin@gmail.com. Victoria, once again, thank you so much for taking so much time. It was such a great time talking to you.
Yeah, thank you guys. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so for everyone else, I am guessing there will be some more Survivor Maryland content coming relatively soon, and of course, a new season of CBS Survivor right around the corner, so we will be with you for all of that, and until then, take care, everybody.